Great. Thank you very much, Alice. Well, I've got a question for you. I've got a bag of Christmas goodies. And the question is simply this. Does it disturb you or delight you? Does it make you go, or yes? Okay, so children, does something disturb you? Can't see any actions. Or delight you? Yes! Okay. Well, we start with an easy one. A present. Does it disturb you or delight you? Yay. Great. That was easy. This one, yeah, yes, you got that one right. Gingerbread men, this is what we were doing on our house yesterday. Eating gingerbread men. Yeah, delight you or disturb you? No one? Oh, a few disturb. Okay, yep. The mess afterwards disturbs me. Eating them delights me. Christmas pudding might divide opinion a little bit more. Okay, disturbed you or delights you? 50-50 split. I don't think we'll have a 50-50 split for this. Some sprouts. That wasn't the one I was expecting. Delight or disturb. That's what we're thinking about today. And the basic message of today is that the message of Christmas should both disturb you and delight you. So the message of Christmas should make us go, and it should delight us as well. No, we're not talking about Christmas generally. It's true that there are a lot of things that are disturbing about Christmas, sprouts included. Maybe it's the granny kisses or the woolly jumpers. Well, we actually have come off pretty well with our woolly jumpers. Granny's a very good knitter. But maybe it's something like that that makes you think, ooh. Or, well, more seriously, for some, I was talking just with Heather now. She met a homeless man yesterday called Neil, who Christmas is not a happy time. It's a disturbing time. For many, it's a very depressing time. Or a sad time. So there may be painful memories, difficult families. So, yeah, we're not talking about Christmas generally as a period, because it is undoubtedly disturbing, depressing, sad for some people. And what we're thinking about particularly is the Christmas message itself. And we saw that in the reading that we had just there. We're going to look at just three verses of it. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, will really help us with that. And in that we have the events of Christmas, the explanation of Christmas, and the emotions evoked by Christmas. The events of Christmas are pretty clear. Verse 1, if you've got your Bibles open, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There you go. You want to know what Christmas is about? What happened? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's the event. And we're thinking, right, okay, that's a baby. Wonderful news. We need the explanation, which comes in verse 2. The explanation of Christmas in verse 2. The magi, the wise men, come from the east, and they ask, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose. So there we have it. You want to know what Christmas, the event's about? Well, the Magi explain it. What are they looking for? What do they see when they see the star? They see the King of the Jews. More specifically, children, I'm going to need your help with this. The King of the whole world is here. That is the explanation of Christmas. They see the star, and they understand exactly what it's about. The King of the whole world is here. Let's see if you can do that. The King of the whole world is here. Brilliant. So that is the message, the explanation of Christmas. That's what we're talking about. When I say the message of Christmas, I mean this. And the King showed that, didn't they? They said, oh, what's Christmas about? What's this baby about? He's the King. But really, that's not so much our focus today. We're thinking, how do people respond to that message? And the first thing is that the message should disturb you. So when I show this message, you should go, it should disturb you. The King of the whole world is here. And the truth is, if that doesn't disturb you, then you've not understood Christmas. You can imagine Herod's thoughts, can't you, in verse 2, as he sat there and these wise men come to him. He sat with a crown on a throne, and the kings, they come to him and say, where's the King? In fact, we don't actually need to imagine what Herod thinks, do we? Because it tells us in verse 3, it says, Herod heard this and he was disturbed. So Herod was disturbed by Christmas because he understood Christmas. See, Herod knows there's only room for one king. And that's not going to be him. If Jesus, king of the Jews, king of the whole world, comes, well, Herod's not going to have much influence on other people, on his own life. He understands Christmas, and hence, he doesn't pay homage to his king, he attempts homicide. If you read through the story, you'll see it's an elaborate assassination plot, trying to kill pretty much any baby he possibly can that might possibly be the Christ. Christmas disturbs him. And it should disturb us, shouldn't it, if we've understood Christmas? See, that Herod's heart lives on in each one of us. This heart that we think, oh, I want to be king. I want life my way. And so I want God out of the way. Herod's heart lives on. It was true, wasn't it, right in history? You kind of saw that in the cross. What happened? We rejected the king by crucifying him. We couldn't actually beat him because he rose from the dead. But we rejected him. History shows that. It resulted in the cross, but Herod's heart remains alive and kicking today. And imagine a few of us are thinking, I don't do that. I've not arranged the murder of all the babies in the country under the age of two, have I? I don't do that. And yet, of course, we do, don't we? If you kind of just skim through the Bible and think, well, I like that teaching of Jesus, but I don't like that. What, you might not be killing babies, but you are effectively removing Jesus's kingship and saying, I'm going to choose, not you. And that's just one example. Herod's heart lives on in every one of us. And so that's why the message of Christmas should disturb us. We should, what should we do? If I put the star up, we should shudder. It should disturb us. Top marks to Herod. You've got to give it to him. He understood completely. And it disturbed him. And if it doesn't disturb you right now, what I'm saying, then you've not understood it. Apathy is the one thing you can't feel today. That's the one response you cannot have to Christmas. Anger, maybe. I don't want a king. How dare you say that? He is not my king, and he will not tell me what to do. Anger, perhaps. Anxiety, even. I'm not ready to meet that king. I certainly haven't lived for him. But apathy, no. You can't feel apathy. And so you can't leave here today, leaving Jesus here today for another year. You can't do that. But as we finish, let's think briefly about Herod and the second response. So we said the message of Christmas should disturb us. Herod was right and very wrong as well. See, he thought Jesus would rule his life. He also thought Jesus would ruin his life, which is why he tried to get rid of him. So the message of Christmas should disturb us and it should delight us. It should delight us. See, we've got to remember, Herod's not the only character. He's only half the picture, and he actually only gets half the picture, doesn't he? See, the Magi, we call them wise men. I'm not quite sure why, but they really are wise men, these kind of signed star readers are wise men because they understand fully. Jesus is not only God's king, but a good king. Now, verse 2 is just the natural response. Where is the king of the Jews? We saw his star, and we have come to worship him. So they didn't attempt homicide. They came to pay homage. They came to worship him, not to get rid of him. So the message of Christmas we've seen arouses many emotions. Apathy, you can put that aside. You can't be apathetic about Christmas. The king of the whole world is here. That's a big claim. Anger, well, you're thinking, I don't want Jesus as king. Well, yeah, unjust dictators deserve our anger, don't they? They are using abused power for themselves. Jesus was not a selfish king. He grew up to be a servant king who laid down his life for other people. Who wouldn't want that kind of king? How can you feel angry at that kind of king? Maybe there was that feeling of anxiety still. I think, well, I'm not ready to meet him because I've not lived for him. And that is the wonder of Christmas, that the baby in the manger grows up to die on a cross. So history teaches us that rebels get punished and crushed. Should be for us. But Jesus came in person. He lived the life that you should have lived. He died the death that you should have died. And then he rose again to give you the life that you shouldn't have. He did it all. And so how can you have anxiety with a king like that? Apathetic? No. Angry? No. Anxious? No. Adoration? Yes. Herod wanted to take the king's life. The wise men wanted Jesus to take their lives. They gave him presents, yes, but they gave him the whole of their lives. See, They saw the star. They understand the message. They follow him. They follow the star all the way to the crib. Good timing. Great. Well, that wants to highlight the point, really, doesn't it? Christmas should disturb you. It should delight you, because what they do, they get on their knees and they worship. That's it. Adoration. Apathy? No. Anger? No. Anxiety? Definitely not. Adoration, yeah. So my prayer is today that would be true for you. Christmas should disturb you, and it should delight you. So I'm praying that you would have a day of adoration of the King. So shall I pray? And yeah, then we'll sing some final songs. Father, we thank you for that both disturbing and wonderful news. Jesus, the King of all, the King of us. We praise you that he's a good King. And so we do pray that today, amongst all the festivities and the fun that we have together, that he would be on our minds, in our hearts, that we would love him and speak of him and live for him. Amen.